Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. Says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fat on a rough road, riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.
Shut up your mouth with Obama. Shut up your mouth with Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fear.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild. Like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed. But you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Anti-government, anti-science, and anti-Obama. They have a trifecta.
And welcome to the program. I'm your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where unfortunately we still have 876 days, 4 hours, 57 minutes, and 14 seconds left of this godforsaken Obama nightmare. And then we got to get to work. But until then, we must remain dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. I cannot emphasize that enough. Freedom ain't cheap, so what? We afford it. It's tyranny we cannot afford. You want to be a part of the program tonight? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978. And you know it as well as I do. As long as there's one liberal, that's all it takes is one. It's a very, very, very busy news day. Well, let me tell you, tonight, absolutely no exception. I don't know if we're going to get through any of this stuff tonight. But we got all this stuff, and I had to not keep stuff away. I got too much stuff to talk about tonight. So what we don't finish tonight, we'll finish tomorrow. I got a whole bunch of my favorites over here. My God. It's a mile long of crap to talk about. You can talk about anything tonight. Well, there's still a number of people that are desperate to take away your freedom. They don't like it. They don't like the fact that they're free. So they want to take it away from you because they don't have any. They want everybody equal. Well, so do we. It's called freedom. Freedom is equal. Freedom is for everyone. Well, there's one way to combat this nonsense. Let's lift our get this freedom ship away. I don't know what the hell. All right, I don't know what the hell's going on with this system tonight. It took me 4 hours to sign on to this son of a bitch. Nothing's working tonight. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know if it's Blog Talk Radio, if it's Skype, or whoever the hell it is. But whoever the hell it is, can you fix this shit? I'm really getting sick and tired of having to put up with this crap. It's every freaking night sometimes. I mean, enough is enough already. 21st century. This is the problem. This kind of crap right here, when you got these programs and you got crappy this and crap that, that's exactly what's wrong with this country today. Nobody wants to take responsibility. Nobody wants to take accountability. Nobody wants to do their freaking job and make sure that their job is done correctly and done good. They just want to get that paycheck. They don't give a damn. They could care less. As long as you're paying me, I don't give a damn if my job is done correctly or not. That's what the problem is in this country. There's no American pride. There's no pride in ourselves anymore. Nobody takes pride in themselves. Nobody takes pride in their work. Nobody takes pride in their country. Nobody takes pride in anything. What are we proud of in the country? What is America today? I don't know. We don't make anything. We don't make anything. We don't do anything but just screw everything up. I mean, my God. I mean, enough is enough. I don't want to, you know, belabor the point here tonight, but my God. I'm just sick of the lack of accountability, lack of responsibility, lack of freaking care. I don't know. Maybe I was born different, but I care about everything that I do. Even the stupid little stuff. I mean, it doesn't take very long, but just a few extra seconds. That's all it needs. And people, and again, people don't want to take a second look. They don't want to proofread their work. They don't want to make sure that it's done correctly. They see someone walk around a Walmart with a toy gun. They don't want to take a second look to find out if it's a real gun or a fake gun. And this guy said that he was loading it. How the hell do you load a plastic fake frickin' gun? Toy. You can't load it. And what happened? Well, that kid got gunned down. He just, it was a young man. I think it was like 20, 22. He was a young guy. Daughter. Shopping in Walmart. We don't really know what really happened with that. We can't get any information. Nobody wants to say anything. The media, they don't want to tell you anything. This administration, they're never going to tell you anything. Nobody wants to say anything. The cops, they don't want to tell you anything. But you have to disclose all the information. Now. No. No. All right. Listen, now this is tonight. What the hell is going on here? Nothing's working in this damn place tonight. All right, before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, and we got a whole bunch of scuttlebutts of the day tonight, Michelle and Isaiah Ryder, you know who they are because you've heard me bitch and complain about them forever. Well, you're going to continue to hear me bitch and complain until every one of these kids are home. They are still support. They still need your support. If you're on Facebook, look up Team Isaiah. If you're on Twitter, just put a hashtag in front of it, and there you are. I'll bringisaiahhome.org, not com, but org. Bringisaiahhome.org, all one word. It's a very nice site. They did a nice job. They got pictures. They got all kinds of stuff in there. Go on that site. See what you can do. Learn what's going on with them. Learn the case. Find out what you can do to help. Because you could be next. Or should I say, you will be next. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. All right, the veterans of foreign wars tonight. They are calling for a nationwide boycott of Mexican products and travel until our Marine, our war hero, Sergeant Andrew Tamaresi, is released from a Mexican jail. On anything Mexican. I'm not even Mexican food. Taco Bell, don't eat tacos, don't even, nothing. You go to the supermarket, and I love Mexican food. I can live on Mexican food. I'm not going to eat it until Sergeant Tamaresi. I'm not having tacos. I'm not having burritos. I'm not even having refried beans, which is going to drive me nuts. Because I love refried beans. Anything that you see that says Mexico on it, we care. And you store owners, don't buy any products from them. Don't buy any products from Mexico to sell in your stores. Tell Mexico to kiss your ass. These people are not our friends. They are not our friendly neighbor. They might have been at one time, but I don't really think so. I got to be honest. I don't really think they were our friends. Well, VFW, the National Commander, William Feeney. This is what he had to say. This submarine has been languishing away since he was arrested on March 31st for allegedly crossing the border accidentally with three personal firearms. Wait till this crap comes to the United States. You don't think it's coming? It's coming. And a lot of it's already here. They're doing everything they can to take away your guns. They don't want you to have a gun. They want to have the guns. See, they don't want you firing back at them. They want to fire at you. They don't want you to defend yourself. You defend yourself, well, then they might get hurt. Yeah, that's a frickin' point. That's what happens when you defend yourself. Somebody tries to knock you down, well, you knock them down first. That's called defense. Well, they don't want that. They want the control. Well, look at all the crime and look at all the poverty and look at all the mess that you have in Mexico. And they don't have guns in Mexico? Really? All the drug cartels, they don't have any guns? Well, they do now, thanks to our attorney general and our president, who allowed them to buy a whole bunch of guns untraced. And they're still out there. They're still unaccounted for. Where's that case been? Oh, that's right. There's a contempt charge. Yeah, that's right. And how's that going? I wonder. Yeah, how's that whole case going there? Let's see. The attorney general is in contempt of Congress. And then what? Well, nothing. Nothing. So what the hell's the point? Why was the attorney, Congress, you do have, you could have impeached the attorney general. You could have impeached him. No, you gave him a contempt charge. Well, what the hell did you realistically think that this man was going to do with this contempt charge? You think he was going to prosecute himself? What is the matter with you, Boehner? I mean, my God. Do you not have a brain, or do you just not know how to use it? What the hell's the matter with you? I mean, Congress, I know Barack Obama, one thing I do agree with him on, Congress is inept. They really are. The stuff that they should be working on, they don't. The stuff that they shouldn't be working on, that's all they work on. We need a real leader in Congress. We need a real speak house. Do we have one? No. Will we get one? Who was the last real Speaker of the House? Somebody remember? It was a mistake, he's going on to say. But so is the Mexican government's reluctance to release him unharmed back to the U.S. Well, he's absolutely correct. But they don't have to. As America's oldest and largest major combat veterans organization, the VFW wants to apply economic pressure to the Mexican government because Tamaresi's arrest and captivity is mirroring that of former Marine John Hammer. We didn't hear hardly anything about John Hammer, who was arrested for carrying an shotgun across the border in August of 2012, despite having proper American paperwork. That was about a five-minute story. Didn't last very long. I guess it wasn't juicy enough. Well, he was finally released 4 months later. And the bottom line is this. If the government's not going to step up and do their job, then it's up to us. We've got to do this job. The people need to step up and step in and do their part. And that's why we have to boycott everything Mexican. Don't travel to Mexico. Don't cross the border. Go into Tijuana or Mexicali or any place on the border. You don't go into Mexico. Leave them alone. You don't buy their produce. You don't buy nothing. Well, Colonel Oliver North, we all know who he is. He wrote a very interesting piece for Fox News. I think it was last week or could have been a couple of days ago, but I just found it today. And it's a nice piece. And so I'm going to read it. Apparently, breaking the law is no problem for the Obama administration. He has often bragged, Congress won't act, I will. I have a pen and a phone. In other words, he is willing to issue executive orders to dictate what he wants done. That's in the Constitution. So the first black president can do whatever the hell he wants. He gets a free phone and a free pen. But the second black president, he's screwed. It's right here in the Constitution. And now, he continues, and now we have yet another example of presidential lawbreaking. This one doesn't require the courts to intervene, just we, the people, need to act. And here's the law. So I'm going to read this law. This is U.S. Code. If you want to write, do it. U.S. Title 22, Chapter 23. Section 1732, it is entitled Release of Citizens Imprisoned by Foreign Governments. Mr. North, this is rather futile because, well, this is law. Okay, this was a law that was passed by our Congress. This is actual law. So this doesn't apply to our king. Nothing applies to our king unless he wants it done. So this law is really irrelevant. This is only for, you know, us, I guess. And here's the law. Whenever it is made known to the president that a citizen of the United States has been unjustly deprived of his liberty by or under the authority of any foreign government, not any foreign government except Mexico, but any foreign government, it shall be the duty of it forthwith to demand of that government the reasons of such imprisonment. Did Obama do that? Did he demand? Well, our Secretary of State, he went over to, I think, Mexico City. He raised the issue. Yeah. What the hell does that mean, raise the issue? What does that mean, I raised the issue? What does that mean, I raised the issue? Raise the issue? I mean, what does that mean? What did he say? Oh, by the way, we got one of our war heroes in your jail because he actually took a wrong turn because you bastards wouldn't put up the right frickin' signs. And some of the signs were obstructed with crap on trees and all kinds of stuff. People, graffiti. I mean, first of all, coming across the border, I don't know why he just didn't, let's say, all right, turn around and get the hell out of here. Turn around and go. No, we got to put him in jail. Everybody loves to incarcerate. That's the thing people want to do is just throw him in jail, incarcerate him, remove them from society. Well, how about if we remove you frickin' creeps from society? It shall be the duty of the president forthwith to demand of that government the reasons of such imprisonment. And if it appears to be wrongful, which I do believe in this case it is, if it appears to be wrongful and in violation of the rights of American citizenship, the president shall forthwith, they love that word, forthwith, the president shall forthwith demand the release of such citizen. Did he do that? Did he demand the release of Sergeant Tamaresi? No, raised the issue. And if the release so demanded is unreasonably delayed or refused, the president shall use such means, not amounting to acts of war and not otherwise prohibited by law, as he may be necessary and proper to obtain or effectuate I don't know what the hell. I've never heard that word. Effectuate or effectuate, whatever the hell it is. And all the facts and proceedings relative thereto shall, as soon as practical, be communicated by the president to. Mention anything to Congress?
No, or anything.
You do have a duty and an obligation, a responsibility. Your war hero, the man that killed for you, Mr. President. He went 12,000 miles to kill for you. And what did you do? You went golfing. One need not be vaunted. This is Ollie North continuing. One need not be a vaunted constitutional lawyer or even Nobel laureate. Like our current head of state. Notice how the president, he called him head of state. I don't think he's a head of the state. I don't think he's a head of anything. Directly to the case of the United States Marine Sergeant Andrew Tamaresi, now enduring his fourth month in a Mexican prison. 4 months. Members of Congress, what the hell happened here? Oh my God, now this, now my machine's going nuts. Everything's going nuts here tonight. Members of Congress from Florida, California, and elsewhere have written nearly a dozen letters to the president about Sergeant Tamaresi. A dozen letters. But see, he doesn't read them. He has a staff read them. Now, I don't even think the staff, his staff can even read. More than 100,000 Americans have responded to online petitions at WhiteHouse.gov. Remember that if you needed over 10,000 signatures, that the president would have to, it was his law. He came up with it with his magic pen. I think the number is 10,000. If you get 10,000 people, then he will take a look at it. Well, we got 100,000 Americans have responded to online petitions at the WhiteHouse.gov, to FoxNews.com, to FreedomAlliance.org, and AndrewFreedomFund.com, among others. And did we hear a peep from the president? He's supposed to respond to this. That's his law. He came up with that. That's not the Constitution that he's not following. That's his law that he's not following. I mean, this man doesn't even follow his own laws. I mean, my God. I mean, what king doesn't follow his own laws? Our president has ignored them all, he says. Apparently, he's been busy with political funders and Republican war on women. Yeah, that's what I know. Where, what? When I first heard this war on women, I'm thinking, who? Who's on, who? What are you talking about? They've already got abortion. You got abortion. You can have your vagina scraped, have your baby pulled out of it piece by piece, thrown into a trash can. If it's still breathing, have a large pair of scissors jammed in the back of its neck until it's dead. You have that right to do that. And it's been settled for well over 30 years now. Why are you trying to fight a battle that you already won? Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, liberals are concerned that the right might want to take away abortion, which the right's not even really talking about abortion. I mean, there's so many factors going on, but they think that the right is trying to take away abortion. Meanwhile, they're trying to take away freedom. Maybe more important. Your freedom or abortion? Freedom of the press? Is that more important than an abortion? You can't speak anymore. It's hate speech. Well, there is no such thing as hate speech. It doesn't exist. You can hate the speech, but there's no such thing as hate speech. What does that mean? Because you hate it, it's hate speech? Again, every word that comes out of a liberal's frickin' mouth, I hate. So by that, there shouldn't be one liberal in society. They should all be in jail. Well, we can't do that. Well, why? Well, we got this pesky document. It keeps getting in the way of everything. It's called the United States Constitution. And they got a thing called Bill of Rights. I know, those rights. R word. Well, the very first Bill of Rights is freedom of speech, freedom of the press. Freedom of the press and freedom of speech are the same thing. What you write and what you say is the same thing. If you write it, just is no different than you saying it. And now they got the government checking out Twitter accounts. They gave a college university almost a $1 million grant to track your Twitter account to find out what you are saying. And if you think for 1 second they're not going to turn that information over to the government and the government's not going to use that against you, think that one all the way through. Well, this university got this grant. Well, how do you think, where does that grant money come from? Well, that comes from you. You, the taxpayer. You are paying this government to spy on you and to use that information, your freedom of speech, to use your freedom of speech against you and persecute you. That's what they're doing. We don't need to monitor Twitter accounts for Americans. We should be monitoring Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts for, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, you know, people like people that are a real threat to America, a real threat to America. People like me, people like you who want to have freedom for everybody, we're not the threat. Well, we are a threat to them, to the government. But we are not a threat to America. Any country, even Liechtenstein, it's not the government. It's the people. The people are the country, not the government. The people are the country. There just hasn't been time to pick up that famous phone and call Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto. Why does he need so many names? And get it over. You don't need 15,000 friggin' names. It's ridiculous. If Congress can't get Obama's attention on freeing an unjustly imprisoned Marine, we the people must. Join the effort to demand that our president obey the law. Well, we've been bitching about it and demanding our president obey the law for a long time. But we don't have a legitimate Speaker of the House to make sure that he does. Oh, that's right. He's got a lawsuit. Yeah, how's that going again, Boehner? How's that little lawsuit of yours going, huh? Is it working? Mm-hmm. Did you scare the president into following the law? No, as soon as you filed that lawsuit, he immediately, well, I mean, why sometimes it just seems there's a very small group of us out there, we're the ones who can actually see what the hell's going on. Why are we the only ones to see what's going on? We can't be that much wiser than everybody else. We can't be that much smarter than everybody else. Why? Why is that? Maybe because we care and we pay attention. Maybe we are wiser. Maybe we are smarter than them. I don't know. But it's right out in front. This man committed crimes, not scandals. A scandal is one thing. A scandal is staying in a blue dress. A crime is facilitating weapons to Al-Qaeda. And then when they attack our embassy, rape and torture and murder our ambassador and kill three others, and a whole bunch of other people got injured, and God only knows how many people were actually killed in Benghazi. The people that were there. The CIA was there, but they're not supposed to be there. So how many people in Benghazi was a lot more than four. That is a crime. It's called treason. If you facilitate weapons into the hands of your enemy, and then when they use those weapons to attack you, and you do absolutely nothing,
That's aiding and abetting. That's treason. So why are we farting around a stupid lawsuit? Ah! Ryan Zink, I guess is how you pronounce his name. Zinke? Z-I-N-K-E. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I just don't know how to pronounce it. Sometimes E's are silent, and sometimes E's make the other vowels long. So, I mean, God knows. Ryan Zink. We'll call him Zink. Ryan Zink, the former SEAL Team 6 Task Force commander and current congressional candidate in Montana. I hope he wins. He sounds like a good guy. This is what he says. Send the Marines into Mexico and take our soldier back. Well, I've been bitching about that since the very beginning. I mean, look, that's a Marine Corps. The Marines understand that you never leave any man behind. They understand that. Soldiers understand that. Sailors understand that. Americans understand that. This guy, this president, obviously he doesn't. Unless they're a deserter and he gets an excuse to trade five of the worst men on planet Earth for him. If I was the first executive of the United States, I would have called the 1st Marine Division and told them to get their Marine back. I would give them the equipment to do it. Well, here's what I would do. I'd get on the horn there to old Enrique Nieto and say, look, it's 9 o'clock in the morning now. You have exactly until noon have a Marine across that border unharmed, or we will invade Mexico. We will also invade the capital of Mexico. We will target you. We will get our Marine out of that jail. That's what our president should have done. Our president should have threatened him. But did he? No. So here he comes over to our country, and this cockamamie clown, that governor of California, this guy's a piece of work, man. And they're praising Mexico, this, and oh, yeah, the immigrants this and immigrants that. Look. We are the land of immigrants, just the way we are. Nobody has a problem with immigrants coming over here. It's how they come over here is the problem. But liberals don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. That's racist. What do you mean, racist? It's not racist. It's following the frickin' law. These are our laws. You can't do that to Mexico. But this son of a bitch is allowing these Central American citizens to cross into his country, which you're not allowed to do that. You come into Mexico illegally. You go to jail for a long time. They don't have to let you out. And they can charge you with anything they want. So he's allowing into ours. So he's purposely screwing our country. This guy is an enemy. First of all, the Mexican president shouldn't be allowed to come into the United States. And if he does, he should have been arrested. The very moment that old Nieto put one foot on American soil, he should have been in handcuffs. Yeah, you want to get out of jail? We want our Marine back. We get our Marine back, we'll send you back. But you're going to spend every day that he spent in jail, you're going to spend in jail here in the United States. You want to do something about it? Go for it. Attack us. See what happens. We'll level you. Do we got a president that will stand up and actually do something like that? No. Absolutely not. And I was thinking about this the other day. And I hate to go back to the past, but sometimes you can learn from the past. What do you think Reagan would have done? How long do you think Sergeant Moresi, a war hero, two tours of duty, how do you think that kid would still be in jail if Ronald Reagan was president? About, what, 5 minutes? One phone call from old Ronnie and boom, that kid would have been across that border so quick. I cannot fathom why the media is not pounding this issue, Mr. Zink said. Here is a young Marine who's been held in a Mexican prison, and where is this administration? Well, they're on the golf course. Where is our country? We demand that this Marine comes back home. Well, you are right, hopefully soon to be Congressman Zink. He's from Montana. After spending two separate tours with the SEAL Team 6, he served as a special operations officer in Europe. He commanded the SEAL Joint Task Force in support of special operations missions in Bosnia, Croatia, Kosovo, and he was elected to the Montana Senate in 2008. Why is he going from the Senate to the Congress? Well, I don't know. If you want, that's fine. As long as we have conservative-minded people in Congress, I don't give a damn, House or Senate. We need them in both. We can give respect back, but we can't lead from behind, he said. Well, that's right. We can't. How can you lead from behind? Leading means you're in front. Leading doesn't mean being behind. If you're behind, you're not leading. You're trailing. You're failing. When you say you are going to be on Israel's side, then you take its side. If during the Reagan years you were to say that Egypt would be a closer ally to Israel than America, no one would believe it. Well, yeah. And we got some stories in here tonight about Egypt and the UAE. I got a story in here somewhere. It's in the middle here. I got all kinds of stuff here. But see, they blindsided old Barry. They got together and they started doing some bombing. They started attacking ISIS. I mean, but you have Egypt and the UAE. United Arab Emirates. I've been there. You have them. They didn't communicate with Obama. They didn't tell him anything. They just went ahead and did it. That shows that Mr. Obama has no respect. He has no respect from Putin. He has no respect from the Middle East. The only one he's got friends is Turkey. He doesn't have any real respect in Europe. He doesn't have any respect too much in Canada. I know Mexico and him, they like each other. Because Obama gets to take all of his citizens and turn them into Democratic voters. And since the poverty is so bad, Mexico is willing to get rid of all their gangbangers. Go over across that border. They don't give a damn. Go over there. Go to America. Get out of our country. Well, why don't we send our gangbangers into Mexico? Why don't we invade Mexico like they do us? Why don't we do, just think if we did that. We got millions of people come up at the border and just cross the border. You can walk across the Rio Grande. It's only about, well, I don't know, about 10 inches deep. You can do it. Get millions of us and just cross the border. And so, see what happens. If our government won't invade Mexico, maybe the American people ought to. I don't know, just a suggestion. 300 citizens make a huge stand against the Mexican president. We've been talking about him. Well, when he came over, support for Tamaresi has been now, even in California, has been surging in his plight and has become more widely known. It's widely known. Everybody knows about it. But nobody's doing anything about it. That's the problem. But they don't want to talk about it. The media doesn't want to talk about it. Why should they? They want to talk about the war on women and the war on climate change and the war on guns. Got to remove your guns. Veterans groups such as the VFW have called on Americans to boycott Mexico. Oliver North is trying to lead a campaign to get the Marine home. Now more citizens have become involved in California, according to a report from Breitbart. The occasion of the latest protest was a luncheon. Remember that? We talked about that. A little neato. Lawmakers Tim Donnelly and Joel Anderson publicly declined their invitations to the event, and Donnelly instead organized a protest. They had over 300 standing out there by the border protesting. No, they were at the luncheon. Good for them. Good for them. Other Republicans, including Assembly Member Melissa Melendez, chose to attend the luncheon. That's because she's probably, well, Melendez, it sounds Spanish. She could have married a Spaniard. She could be Liechtensteinian. I don't know. But she went. She shouldn't have. Shame on you, Melissa. Shame on you. She chose to attend the luncheon and make their protest directly to the Mexican president. What do? Did she talk face-to-face? I doubt it. The 300 protesters, including Tea Party and other activists, including Jan Ziegler from Yuba City, California, who was celebrating her 68th birthday by attending her very first protest. Well, good for you. Good for you, Jan. Ziegler, whose nephew serves in the Marines. Now we just lost this again. What the hell is going on with this system today? Does anything freaking work in this goddamn country today? I mean, nothing works. Nothing. I mean, I can't even get this son of a bitch and program to work tonight. Nothing. Let me see, but I'm just sick of the crap. Look, I understand sometimes break down, sometimes things don't work, but when it's constant, it's every day. No, I don't understand that crap. I don't understand why things that should work aren't working. And nobody's doing anything about it. Ziegler, whose nephew serves in the Marine Corps, said it wasn't fair that Tamaresi was rotting in a Mexican jail while we have two big shot Governor Brown, Mexican President Neato. Yeah, I'm sure you are neat, aren't you there? You're Neato. You're a jerk. I don't know who the hell you are. I never met you, but I don't like you. I don't like you. I don't trust you. I don't want you coming over into this country again. You stay over in Mexico. Stay over there. Wining and dining on $4. That's right. Californians paid for their frickin' governor and this frickin' Mexican president. I wonder what they had at lunch, and I'm sure it was a hell of a meal. Sure was a hell of a meal. Well, they're whining and dining on our dollar, while Andrew, I'm sure, is not receiving the same lunch as him, quote, unquote. Well, that's true. Probably, I don't know, tortillas and water? I don't know what they're feeding him. But certainly not having one of a spread like I'm sure Governor Brown made sure that this Mexican president, Neato, was able to eat. I mean, why would they do that? I mean, when they have these things and these meetings, why do they always have to have a big extravagance? I mean, it just seems, you know, I hate that word optics, but it just seems to be a little out of touch. I don't like meetings where you eat. I don't like that. I've never did, and I don't do them. I've had to do them, and I've told people. I've not gone to meetings because they're eating. You want to do business with me? Okay, we're not going to eat. We're going to do business. Once the business is done, then we can eat. Then we can eat. You don't eat, you don't sleep, you don't play until the work is done. But that's me. I'm weird. I know. I'm weird. But that's just the way I am. And we stay off that goddamn golf course. The activity in support of Tamaresi during Neato's visit demonstrates the best principles of conservative activism. No, this is not conservative activism. These are just Americans. Unfortunately, I doubt very seriously there were any Democrats. They don't even know who Tamaresi is. You ask a Democrat who Sergeant Tamaresi is, they have no idea. They don't mention Sergeant Tamaresi on CNN or MSNBC. ABC, CBS, NBC, they don't mention that, no, no. They're not going to do that. I just find it absolutely, I find it offensive. And I find it offensive not only that this president, this administration, if he doesn't want to do the call, he's got plenty of people in our administration. There are plenty of people in our administration that can go to Mexico, can get on the horn. We could get the guy home if we wanted to. We could get the guy home. But do we? No. No. I guess it's too much work. What is the deal with this, Sergeant Tamaresi? Why is this administration... This is what we need to find out. Why are they ignoring him? I want to know the why. If we had a responsible media who would ask questions like this, maybe we might know these answers, but we don't. Now, one reporter asked, why? Why are you ignoring Sergeant Tamaresi? Why? That's one very simple word, just word, a very simple. Why are you ignoring Sergeant Tamaresi, Mr. President? He went to Afghanistan twice to kill for you. And you're going to let him rot? Have you even heard the president even mention Tamaresi's name? I have not heard our president utter the word Sergeant Tamaresi. I've never heard him say, maybe he did. Maybe he did. But I haven't heard him. I haven't heard him say, I haven't heard him repeat that name. That's offensive to me. That's offensive. Sergeant Tamaresi is our brother. He is our brother. We don't have to have his same blood running through our veins. He's an American. If you're an American, we're brothers, we're sisters, period. Conversation just ended. It's also equally offensive that our media will not question it. They won't cover it. They won't talk about it. We got one network that kind of sort of maybe almost talked about it. They talked about it for a little while, and then they forgot about it. Why do we got to forget about these guys? Why do we got to forget about this stuff? I can't. These should be the headlines every night. Isaiah Ryder, all this stuff, every bit of it, every single night. But is it? No. We get the war on women, we get climate change, blah, 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 blah. Sergeant Tamaresi, I'm praying for you. I am. I really am, because you need a lot of prayers. We all should be praying for him. We all should be standing up. We all should be writing letters. Speaking of which, putting that down here right now. I'm going to write a letter to the president. I'm going to probably end up going to jail, but I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not going to be disrespectful. I'm just going to be honest. And I'm going to give the facts. I'm going to spend some time on this letter because I do have a tendency to go flying off the handle real quick because I have no patience for nonsense. So I'm going to take the time to write a real letter. Then I'm going to write it to him. Then I'm going to read it over these airwaves. And then I'm going to send it to the president. Will that do any good? No. But look. We still, doesn't matter what the outcome is. We still have to fight the battles. If you're afraid to fight, you need to get the hell out of the war. Go home. Go back to your couch. Turn on your Kim Kardashian show. Open up another bag of Cheetos and gain another 5 pounds. You're worthless. Anybody listening to this radio show tonight, you should write a letter to the president as well. You don't have to cuss, which I'm not going to cuss. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be respectful. But I'll spend time on it. I'm going to make sure that I get it right. And I want to make sure it's poignant. I want to make sure it hits home. And I want to send it out to him. And I think everybody, all America, if you're American, you need to get on your computer, get a piece of paper, a pen, or a pencil, or anything. You don't have any, you don't have a pen or a pencil, all you got is a crayon, well, then you write with a crayon. You send our president a letter. Every single American should be sending this president a letter. Inundate the post office. I mean, they're going to need trucks and trucks and trucks, convoys of trucks, to deliver the amount of letters to the president. Maybe then he might do something. I doubt it. I doubt it. But I don't know why this administration is ignoring Sergeant Tamaresi. We still don't have that answer. I want to know the why. What did Sergeant Tamaresi do to you, Mr. President? What did he do to you, huh? He only went over to Afghanistan twice to kill for you. Joined the Marine Corps. First time he was over there, he was private. Worked way up to sergeant. And then he gets out of the military. Then what happens? He accidentally makes a wrong turn. Is it because he had guns? Is that why you won't even mention his name, Mr. President? Are you really that concerned that your base is going to be upset with you because you got a Marine out of jail who had guns in his car? I mean, is that what it is? Is that what we're dealing with? I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing. We only have the most transparent administration in American political history, so we are left to guess. Sergeant Tamaresi, you hang in there, all right? Somehow, we're going to find a way to get you home. So hang in there. And Isaiah, you hang in there, too. You remember, Isaiah, they're weak. They're the bullies. Bullies are cowards. Cowards are weak. You are strong, Isaiah. You hang in there. And Sergeant Tamaresi, you are strong, too. Both of you hang in there. We're going to get you home. Somehow, some way, we're going to find a way to get you home. All right, let's open up my treasure chest here and see what kind of booty we can plunder tonight. I don't know what the hell's in here. Now, this isn't even working. This button isn't working. Screw it. There it goes. Everything's delayed tonight. I don't know what the hell's going on, but I'm sick of this crap. Oh, well. Two top federal judges Wednesday. That was today. Said the nation's immigration courts are in chaos. Wait till you hear what I got to say with this one. With the backlog of cases at an historic high of 375,000. 375,000 immigration cases. With only 227 judges. Leading to a minimum of 3 to 4 hearings. Wow. Wow. 375,000. Let's see. Divided by 227. Wow. 1,652 cases. Every judge, every immigration judge in this country has 1,652 cases to go through and counting. You can't get, I'm sorry, but you did, that's impossible. That is impossible, that's an impossible task. 3 to 4 years, I think it's going to be longer than that. And that's done deliberately. It's done deliberately so they don't have to go to these immigration courts. They're not wanted to go to these immigration courts. If they go to the immigration court, they stand a good chance of being sent back home. Well, how the hell can you turn these people into crowd voters when they're sent back home? How can you do that? That's the only reason for this. That is the only reason. This is not humanitarian. There's no humanitarian in this. It's not humane to make this trek. It's a very dangerous trek. They got to go through all these Mexican drug cartels, which is equivalent to the Spanish Al-Qaeda. That's all they are. They're just a Mexican Al-Qaeda. That's all they are. An MS-16, that's a Guatemalan or El Salvadorian. I think it's El Salvador. It's an El Salvadorian Al-Qaeda. They're not out to kill the infidel. They're just out to kill. They're terrorists. They've got to be wiped out. Why isn't Mexico doing anything about the Mexican drug cartels? Oh, that's right. The Mexican drug cartels are, well, they're part of the Mexican government. You don't think the Mexican drug cartels are in the Mexican government? Think again. They run the Mexican government. I look at this. I look at what's going on with this immigration. I look at that as a direct attack on the United States. That's an invasion. You can invade a country without an army. It's still an attack. That's an act of war, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if you really want to get down to it, pull about the whole damn thing. What Mexico is doing to the United States, that's an act of war. Allowing these people to cross into our borders, they know our laws. You get back to their country, they got their laws. You go to jail for a long time. Fines and this and that. So they know what they're doing. This President Nieto, he knows what the hell he's doing. That's an act of war. In Washington, to take advantage of the current crisis to demand a new court system, the judges accused the Justice Department of treating their courts like Cinderella's abusive family by starving them of money and blame the insufficient justice funding for letting illegals linger in the country. Why is it always happy about money? That's all they want is the money. Well, every time you get more government money, you just waste it. How many more billions of dollars, trillions of dollars do we have to waste? We don't need any more money. We don't need to be given any more agencies, any more anybody, any more money. We just need people to do their frickin' jobs. Just do it and shut up about it. I understand where these judges are coming from. I'm not hacking on them. I understand where they're coming from. They're inundated. They're stressed. It's a very stressful job. They've got these judges now that are planning to retire. So now what's going to happen when you have an influx of all these retirees in the immigration courts? You're going to have a lot less than 227. You might have 27 judges. Is that what they want? I think that's what they want. I think they want to drive these judges out. So if you are a judge, you really have a problem with what is going on here, which I'm sure you do. If you're smart, you do. If you're dumb, you don't. But if you realize there's a problem here, you stay. Because if you leave, you're only going to make that problem worse. But you judges who are threatening to retire, you're going to make it worse. You're going to bring more people across this border. You're going to bring more chaos, more crime, more Al-Qaeda, more MS-6, more ISIS. Look, jihad is in the United States. They're here. Just accept it. They're here. And they're not going anywhere until we kick their asses out. But will we? Well, I don't know. I'm still waiting for somebody to do, step up to the plate and make a decision and say no. Yes, we are a very humanitarian country. We're not going to deprive you of anything, but we are not going to allow you to cross our border, disrespect our laws, disrespect our culture, disrespect our people, and then just all of a sudden give you citizenship? Ain't going to happen. Well, it will happen. That's the problem. But it won't happen with people like me, people like you. If we can get a real president in there, we still got 2 years. Look at the damage that this man can cause in 2 more years. Look what he did in the first year. Look what he did in the first year. Just look at the damage that this man did in the first year. He's got 3 years to go. Pen and a phone. And a golf club. Immigration courts are the forgotten stepchild, said immigration judge Dana Lee Marks. She's from San Francisco. She was speaking on behalf of National Association of Immigration Judges, which she is the president of. Why do you need a National Association of Immigration Judges? Why do you need an association? You go to work, do your job, and go home. You don't need an association. Fellow Judge Denise Noonan Slavin, the vice president of the Judges Union, said that the courts have the status of Cinderella, having to scrounge for supplies, support, and money. Well, that's the point. They don't want to give you any support. They don't want to give you any supplies. Because if you have the support, the supplies, and the money, guess what you're going to do? You're going to send these illegal aliens home. They don't want you to do that. Wake up. She says a lack of money forces judges to delay cases, and that is allowing those who are not entitled to be here to linger. To linger. Kind of like our president does. He lingers. Ugh. All right. Looks like I got my brother on here tonight. I want to take a break from this because I got more to this story, but I'm just freaking through. And I'm going to gasket. I'm going to blow a gasket. Let's see what my brother has to say here tonight. Hold on. I know I'm having problems with this phone, Kurt.
Yeah, you really are. It sounds like ass a little bit. But,
well,
listen.
I'm having a problem with this computer program here tonight. You push a button and 4 hours later, then it comes on. It doesn't work. This doesn't work. Nothing works tonight. So I don't know what the hell's going on here.
Push the right buttons, all right? Listen.
I did push a button.
Listen.
What?
Jordan suspended for the entire season, Browns.
Who's Jordan?
You heard that, right?
Who's
He's
Jordan?
Their wide receiver. Wide receiver.
I don't know. I don't watch the Browns. I hate the Browns. I hate Ohio.
One of the best, okay? He's out. He's gone. Can't
well,
play
what happened
this entire season.
What happened?
He was doping.
Well, that happens.
So, regardless. All right. Rams quarterback out. Of the season. Now, does that help the Seahawks?
It has no effect whatsoever.
Yeah, sure it does.
No, it doesn't, because the Rams were going to do anything with this guy anyway, so what the hell difference does it make?
No, they weren't going to be awful.
Yeah, they've been awful for a while.
Not double awful, just awful.
Well, it's not going to affect Seattle at all. They might actually be better now.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Here's the funny thing. Now, get off the toilet and listen.
Tebow?
They're looking. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Okay. They might, and you're going to laugh, bring Mark Sanchez in.
Well, I think...
I think that's a good fit.
That's a good fit.
I think that's a great fit. That's where Sanchez belongs.
I think that would actually, I think if you brought Sanchez in there, they're still not going to be Super Bowl bound, but they'll
nope,
be a...
they'll be fitty-fitty. At least fitty-fitty.
Yeah, I'd say about 7 or 8. About, maybe a little more. I mean, you never know. I mean, sports are sports, man. You never know what the hell's going to happen. It's like politics.
Absolutely.
You never know what the hell's going to happen.
Absolutely. But I just thought you'd get a kick out of that since you're a Sanchez fan.
I'm not a Sanchez fan. I didn't want him to. I don't know why the Jets.
Are.
No, I'm not. When they picked him, I was like, oh, my God. Well, he was good for a couple of years, but it wasn't really so much him. It just
he's not bad.
Well, he can be,
he
but he can also be
bad.
Really bad. I mean, I don't hate
Here's
the guy.
My story. Here's my story. Him and Romo are both in the wrong spot.
I think so. They're
they
both in the wrong
both
team.
Good, both good quarterbacks.
I have stopped
can
thinking
do something.
To trade. You know what I mean? I always thought that they should trade. They should have traded Sanchez for Romo. That would have been a better trade. But, well, actually with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I thought that would work, too.
I don't think anything's going to help the Cowboys, except for Jerry Jones selling the team and staying the hell out of the staying the hell out of the way.
This season, they're still going to be 8-8.
Yeah, that's it. 8-8. They're done.
You know, that's not awful. 8-8 every season. You're bringing people in. People are watching you. People are paying you.
Well, you think Tebow's gonna get a job this year? You think he's gonna get a job this year?
His name has never been mentioned.
Well, I would have turned him into a tight end, man.
Yeah,
and the Jets they used him as a tight end, but they never used him. If they would have used him. I think he could have been very effective as a tight end. I really do. I think he's got the muscles as a football player. He's got the muscles. He's got the speed. He can do it. He's just not
he is a football player. He is a football player. Just in the wrong position. And it's probably his fault, too, because he refused to go to a different position, and that's his problem. He should have thought about that.
Well,
but
if you're, but he went over to another position. Everything's awful tonight. Everything is awful. Nothing's working tonight. Why? What's it doing on your end? I hear you fine.
Well, I get a let's just say awful. I'm not going to repeat it.
Well, you're coming in good, so
okay. You are occasionally. Occasionally, you're not. So
I don't know what's going on.
You got that going for you.
Nothing's working tonight on anything that I have. Nothing. But, you know, I mean, I thought it took over an hour to sign, to get myself going today. This Blog Talk Radio program. I don't know. Maybe it's my system. I don't know what the hell's going on. It's just one of those nights that nothing's going to work and there's nothing you can do about it. I bitched and pissed and moaned and complained, and now it's still not working. So.
Well, it's working. It's just you're blotchy. But anyways, that's the news I got. Jordan's out. The Browns are just going to suck. Seattle plays Oakland tomorrow. That ought to be fun to watch.
Well, Green Bay starts next a week from tomorrow. Season starts, Green Bay, play Seattle. On the record.
No, I'm going back on the record. Let's go backwards first. Seattle versus Oakland. Pick me a score.
It's preseason.
It doesn't matter. This is the fourth preseason game.
Well, I would probably say something around in like the 30s or 40s for Seattle and two or three, Oakland.
I'd go teens, but yeah, you're all right. That's about where I was at.
Well, I can't even go two because I don't think they would ever get a safety, so they might get a field goal.
I'm guessing they're in the teens. I think they'll make...
No.
Yeah, of course they will. Because you got to put your third string in. This is the fourth game. I'd go in the mid to late 30s versus a teen score. Early teen, probably 13, maybe 14. What do you think?
I don't care because it's preseason. It has nothing to do with anything. And
I know, but come on. It's still fun. You got to watch it. Good stuff. All right. Give me your Green Bay.
I have a feeling Green Bay is going to get mutilated.
I have a feeling Green Bay is going to win.
Really?
No, I don't. I take that back. I think it's very close.
Well,
every time those two...
I love the pack. I love Green Bay. I love Rodgers, but his era, his time, I think he's done. He might have a couple of...
He's not done. He's got plays in him.
But he's getting older. He's getting hurt. He was hurt a lot last year.
I have
a feeling he's going to get hurt again, and I don't like seeing these guys
on the field. See if you get hurt.
I'd get hurt before I just putting on the pads. I'd get hurt.
Yeah, tying up my cleats. I'd get hurt.
Definitely. I mean, just walking into locker room, I'd break my neck. So.
I'm thinking on this one. You know how those two play each other? That is another rivalry. Nothing like Seattle and San Francisco, but it's a good one.
No, it's a good rivalry. They don't Green Bay
it's
and Seattle do not like they do not like each other. They are
they play
the
hard.
Fans don't
they play
like
tough.
Each other. I like them both. So I want to see I just like seeing good hard notes football.
I say 35 to 27.
No, I don't think it's going to be that high. Well,
all right. Give me your price.
I'm thinking in the 20s and teens. So 27-3. No, I'm thinking. Well, 27 sounds pretty good. Like 27-14.
I'm going to go high.
It's possible.
Russell
it's possible. Anything's possible.
Okay, well, mark it down.
I'm just glad. I'm just glad football is starting. We can start having a little bit baseball.
Jeez,
going.
Are you kidding?
We need more America in America, and football is America. And we need more people watching.
Absolutely.
We need more America in this country. We don't have it. We don't even make anything. What do we make in this country anymore? What do we make?
Pot roast.
I mean, even what? I can't think of one thing that this country makes anymore.
Well, here's my thought.
We're proud of it.
You want to hear it? Here's my thought. You know, barbecue, that's America. And it's terrific. It's wonderful. Everybody freaking loves it. Okay? Me, myself, also.
As long as you have pork ribs.
No, zip it. Pot roast. Now, that's America. And
that's America.
It could be a Sunday football thing. You remember back when Grandma would make a freaking roast every Sunday, and it was just it was amazing.
Yeah, I like a roast.
That?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Recall that, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
God.
And potatoes and carrots, and they were all in the
and
thing.
Bacon.
I don't know how she made it.
Bacon. Lots
I don't know
of
what
bacon.
She did.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Wrap it in bacon if you have to. I don't care.
Everything
it was all
bacon.
Just... What?
Everything bacon.
Oh, bacon is not.
Bacon is
Bacon's
good.
Good.
It's pork.
It's good, but it's not great.
Muslims don't like pork, so that's why I love it more. And I eat pork more than I ever have before. And I think
you know what?
I think
listen,
America.
I got an answer.
On a complete pork blitz, and forget about eating beef, chicken. Just buy pork.
Are you going to listen?
I'm listening.
Yeah, as long as you're quiet.
Well, okay. I'm talking.
You know the problems in the Everglades with the wild boars, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a problem. They're injuring people and things. And all right, let's catch them all. Send them to the freaking Islam countries.
They don't want anything to do with pigs or pork. That's what we ought to do. Drop them off from one of those drones and drop off and let them get out and roam around wherever ISIS is. Drop a whole bunch of pigs. You know what? Pig
and
blood.
They'll multiply and they will just destroy pretty much ISIS and whoever else you want to destroy.
Some of those boars get pretty big. They get as big as bulls, man. They're big.
And they're monsters.
They're
physical monsters. They will hurt you.
You remember that pig farmer that I acted with in college?
Yes.
He had these pigs. We'd go over to his house, and he had this pig. But this one that he had, this thing was the size of a bull, man. I mean, it was – I've never seen a pig that big before. They're huge.
Monsters, man.
Monsters. You couldn't get into the cage with it. It would eat you.
They are monsters.
And they do eat people. So you're right. That's actually a good idea. The hell?
They don't eat people, you moron.
Well, they don't. Yeah,
the hell
they do. They are carnivores of flesh and blood.
Carnivores, if you give them your leftover
chicken. If you don't get out of their way and they attack you, they will eat you. If you're dead, they will eat you. They will devour you. They eat bones and everything. Yes, absolutely. Yes, true.
Not gonna buy it. Not gonna buy it.
Kurt, they do.
Not gonna buy it.
They will eat you. Yes, absolutely. Pigs will eat anything.
All right. I'll go into a ring with one. And you go into a ring with the other. I will survive. You will not. Because they eat people.
They do. If you're dead, they'll eat you. If you're not fighting back,
they will not.
Kurt, yeah, they will. They devour you. Yeah.
All right, regardless, I'm going to feed the rest of my pigs chicken bones.
Those things will eat anything. Yeah, they do eat. They do eat people, absolutely. Well, they had, I don't know if you ever saw, did you see that TV show God almighty. It was in the Black Hills. Forget that name. My brain's not even working tonight. Nothing's working tonight.
But pigs in the Black Hills.
They had pigs there, and it was true that they did, you know, the TV show. That was, they did cover a lot of history. Of course, there was a lot of, make-believe in it, too, but there was a Chinese, and they talked about it, and I did some research on it, and people that were killed, they just gave it to the pigs, and the pig ate the bodies. It was a crazy place in Edmonton. Yeah, pigs.
Okay,
pigs will eat people.
Rotten meat, maybe they'll eat it. You know, in the Black Hills, Calamity Jane was a hooker.
Maybe, but I doubt it. But I like Calamity Jane.
Fact.
She was a hooker.
I do too. That's fact. She was a hooker.
Well, she was
up
ugly
in the Black Hills,
and she looked like a man.
Yeah, she was hurting.
But she could shoot.
But
she could shoot.
Well, maybe she forced them into it. I don't know. But
she could. She was in love with. Oh my God, I can't think tonight.
Wild Bill, right?
Yeah, she was in love with him, but he really wasn't so much with her. But
he was getting a piece.
See, that's America. That's what we need. We need John Wayne back. We need John Wayne. We need the Duke, man. We need him back in America. I want to see America back in America. Baseball, football, hot dogs,
cowboy,
freaking Chevrolet.
I'd have been a great cowboy. Wish I would have grew up back in the time, because I'd have been a great cowboy.
But what realistically, I mean, not even our cars. I mean, our cars, well, some of them are together in America. But the parts are from Japan, and they're from Europe. They're from all over. America makes nothing anymore, and this is sad. We need America. We need American products. We need something American.
Yeah, we gave up on motorcycles other than Harley Davidson, but that's
well,
a
Harley
street
Davidson
bike.
Still has Harley Davidson now has they've been having for years. They've been having Japs in their bikes. I mean, Harley Davidson is not even 100% American anymore. That's sad.
Well, although you got to think about this, because we do build Hondas in America.
Yeah, but they shipped over here. The parts.
I know.
Are
I know. Over. I get it. Hot dogs.
It's not me.
We still make hot dogs.
Yeah, we make hot dogs.
Is that fair?
That's fair. I mean, that's still something. I mean, hot dogs are America.
We
got hot dogs.
Thing we
that's
got.
It. That's it. The only thing that we make.
That's it.
Isn't that pathetic?
Kinda.
I don't know. I'm fed up with so many things today. I mean, what's going on with Sergeant Tamaresi? I mean, imagine that. Imagine taking a wrong turn, and because you've got guns, he had everything in his car, had all of his possessions in California, took a wrong turn, and the president, I mean, he can't make one phone call. And this Mexican president, he was over in California.
Thought that story was over.
That story's not over. Not over here. Is he home?
I don't know. I just hadn't heard it in a while.
That's the problem. That's another problem. Nobody wants to talk about him. Not even Fox. They're hardly talking about him. I mean, they get a little bit here and there, but I mean, we don't even have. I mean, Fox News is really starting to irritate me lately. They're not. It just seems like I don't know what it is, but it just seems like all of our media is afraid to cover the real stories, afraid to cover the truth, and I don't know why.
I mean, so tell me, because I just I sleep with the TV on, right? So occasionally I'll wake up and I'll hear a blip of something. And what is Pelosi's daughter in the news for? Because I didn't catch the whole thing.
I don't know. She's a supposed documentary maker. I seen one of her documentaries.
What?
And Kurt, I couldn't even last 30 seconds. It's awful. I mean, it's pitiful bad. It was awful. I can't even remember what the hell it was. I don't remember what the hell it was. It was 100 years ago. And it was awful. It was just, it was, she's an idiot just like her mother.
Yeah, but I think Pelosi was hot back in her day.
No, she's an idiot.
Yeah.
The woman,
yeah,
no.
But looks-wise, just look.
No, you can be stupid just looking at her face. I mean, her stupid looking,
yeah,
her eyes.
But if I don't hear a word from her, and I take one quick look at her across the bar, and I'd say, yeah, you're kind of hot.
I hear the word Nancy Pelosi, and automatically the first thing that pops into my mind is stupid.
Okay, but you didn't know her back then. You took a look at her across the bar.
Kurt, I was in the Navy. We had Barbara Boxer and that stupid Feinstein. And they had all these commercials in California of all these politicians. I've known who Nancy Pelosi was. I've known that Feinstein and Barbara Boxer. I've known these people being in the Navy. You heard these commercials. Even when there wasn't an election, they still had these commercials of these politicians. So I got to know who a lot of these people were. It was by proxy. It was a complete accident. But Nancy Pelosi in the 80s was just as equally stupid then as she is now. She's actually stupider, if that's
now,
a word.
Listen, I don't like when she opens her mouth, but you don't get my point. if you saw her across the street or across the bar at 1982 and you hadn't heard a word she said, she was probably halfway attractive. That's my point.
I don't see it. You know, when it comes to men and women, a lot of women see men and a lot of, you know, I mean, one woman can look at a man and think that's the most gorgeous creature on earth, and the other one just pukes. Well, same with a man. I look at Nancy Pelosi, and I don't see beauty in that. I just see nothing but just idiot.
I saw it back in the day. But since she opened her mouth, though, I'm turned off. But
her daughter, well, your girlfriend has always been, you've always had the hots for old Chelsea, so I know how you are.
She turned me down.
You know, have you ever listened to that Chelsea Clinton talk? Have you ever listened to her talk?
Not for long, no.
She's an empty
pants.
She's
almost got some
tart
in her.
She don't say that word. I don't use that word. No, I don't like that word. I don't either,
but sometimes it fits.
I just don't like that word. But she's just like her mother. She's exactly like her mother. There's no difference, and she's gonna grow up to get have a bigger butt than her mother.
You think she'll get the ankles?
Oh, she's got the cankles. She'll get the cankles here in a couple of years.
She
don't worry
have
about
them
it.
Yet. Do you think she'll get them?
I don't know. I'm a
little bit smaller than mom.
Well, we have to do in this country, we have to defeat not only the Hillary Clintons and the Nancy's, but all just liberalism, period. It's the mindset that has to go.
Hey, insight where you can talk to Palin?
I've emailed her, requested to do an interview, but she's doing a million other interviews, and why would she come on this little program here? I don't know, but if I can get her, I'll bring her on. I'll bring anybody
on. She wants to talk to me.
Yeah, well, she hasn't been in the news, lately. I don't know what the hell she's doing, but the liberals hate her because she speaks the truth. Okay, fine. She speaks a little folksy. Fine. A big whoop. To me, it's not so much how she says it, but what she says. And what she says, I got to go along with. You know?
Have not had an opportunity to disagree with her.
What I really like about her, just the fact that just mentioning her name sends liberals into Deep Space Nine, and they hate her. That's what I love about her.
They're scared of her.
Well, when the election, first of all, if it wasn't for Sarah Palin, John McCain wouldn't have won even his own state of Arizona. He wouldn't have won any state. People didn't vote for John McCain. They were voting for Sarah Palin. She's the only one at the time had any conservative sense behind her. But
I have few women that I adore. She is one of them.
I know you like Megyn Kelly.
I don't mean that in a sexist way.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean you. Okay, let's. In politics, I have a few women I adore. Palin, oh, come on. She's amazing.
There's Texas politician women that I really like. And you know what I found is the conservative women are much stronger and more conservative than the men. And I mean, I can't figure that out. It's why? How? I mean, I'm not a man should be stronger than a woman.
I know
I'm
why.
It should be equal.
I know
I mean,
why.
If you're... Well, why? Give me the answer.
It was the Women's Act that allows women to say more than a man can say. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But it allows them more.
Well, no, I'm not talking so much about that. I'm talking they have a stronger conservative sense. And like Michelle Bachmann. I love Michelle Bachmann. They're not afraid. They don't have any fear. That's what I like about the conservative women. They just don't. There is no fear. The only conservatives that have fear are the men. They're afraid. I want to offend women. No, they tell the truth. Whatever the truth is, they're just going to go out there and tell it.
The men will be faced with it. They have to deal with it. The women can get away with it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. But I just think that the conservative women are stronger than the conservative men. We don't even have any conservative men in politics anymore.
I'm going to bring Reagan back.
Well, dig up old Ronnie. Give him
I'm
an electrical
figure out
charge.
A way. I'm bringing Reagan back.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We can't get Reagan back. See, this is another thing that, you know, us as Americans, we've got to realize Reagan is dead. But we're not.
I'll never say that.
Well, what I'm saying is his body is dead. Just his body.
Hey.
Not his mind. You know what I'm saying? But we have to be strong and we have to move on. We can learn from what he said. We can learn from what he did. And we can, you know, repeat what worked and go that way. But
Mr.
we've got
Gorbachev,
to tear
down that
wall.
Yeah. I love that.
Well, now this president has no respect. He's no respect from Putin. He's got no respect from the Middle East. He's got the only one out of the Middle East is Turkey. And Turkey's not a real ally. They're not our real friend. You don't trust
Turkey.
They're
a country or a city?
They're a terrorist.
Or a town.
Turkey's a country.
No, I think they're more of a city or a town.
Turkey? What are you talking about? They're a country. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, they're nothing.
Well,
other than they're giving us trouble.
Yeah, I know what you mean by I know what you mean. I know what you mean now. Right. Right. You weren't speaking of they do like to harbor terrorism. And
yeah.
Well, the entire Middle East is a one big giant terrorist organization anymore.
Yeah,
explain
that. Why?
Well, here's one reason. One, those people have been fighting over there for forever.
Okay. I got my own reason, but go ahead.
What's your reason?
Jealousy.
Well, that's liberalism. They're jealous of freedom. They're jealous of our freedom. And
yeah.
A lot of countries are jealous of our freedom. But they're still cavemen. They haven't fully evolved yet. I don't think people in the Middle East have fully evolved yet. They still got a little Neanderthal. They still got a little caveman in them. They're not developed into human beings anymore. And I think it's so hot over there. I don't know. Well, you haven't been over there. I have. I mean, it's so blasted hot. I think it's melted their brains. And that's why they're so angry.
Oh, you want to hear me?
Go.
Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. I read something the other day. 90% of Islamic people are inbred. You check it out. Check it out, please. Because don't quote me on this until you check it out, until your audience the facts. But I saw it. They are all inbred. You cannot marry unless you're in the – you cannot marry anybody out of the Islamic religion. So, therefore, they become fairly inbred.
That's one of the reasons they're giving.
That's one of the reasons they're giving of what's going on. So, listen, check it out.
It's human nature to want to control. Obama wants to be... look, people don't understand. When you say the word tyrant, they think immediately that you are a cruel and vicious dictator and you're chopping people's heads off and blah, 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 throwing people to the dogs like in North Korea. But a tyrant just simply means absolute and total control. It doesn't matter whether you're taking away people's rights. It's still tyranny. Tyranny is tyranny is tyranny is tyranny, period. And Obama's tyrant. Every one of these Middle Eastern countries are tyrants. Putin is a tyrant. All these countries are tyrants. Everybody's got to have power. Everybody's got to have the total control. They want world domination. That's human nature. For why? I don't know. I wish it would get out of the human race, but it's here. So us smart people, us sane people, us people who like freedom, I know, there I go again with the F word, but people who like freedom, no, we don't, you know, I mean, we're not that way. So I can't figure it out. I can't understand it. I can't relate to it. I don't get it. And we have people in this country that are supporting Hamas, and they think Israel is such a, you know, look, Israel's not a perfect country. There isn't a perfect country. There just isn't one. But Israel's not out bombing Hamas and the Palestinian people for no reason. It's a defense. And the Palestinian people, there are a lot of Palestinians that don't want to, there's a lot of Muslims, actually, that really don't like this Islamic terrorism. They want to break away from it, but they can't. They're under this tyranny. And if they say anything, they get their heads chopped off. So they've got that fear. So when they're cutting people's heads off and chopping heads in half and cutting little girls' heads off, it's just sick. I've seen those pictures. It's just I get tired of looking at them. And they've got them under their it's under total fear. And so that's another problem of why it's difficult to combat Islam is because of the fear factor. And I've been bitching about this since forever. The only way we're going to end this Islamic terrorism is we are going to need the Muslim people. They're going to have to rise up and lead the way. We're going to have to get the whole world involved to conquer these bastards. But the Muslim people are going to have, they're going to have to stand up and lead the way. That's their people. So if they want to get really a serious about getting rid of Islamic terrorism, they're going to have to the majority of the work, and they're going to have to work with their people. They're going to have to do a lot with their education as kids, you know, cutting people's heads off. That's wrong. Little Abdul, you don't do that, but they don't do that. They say, hey, if you're a Jew, you're an infidel, you cut their heads off and you get 72 virgins. So, whatever. And where that 72 comes from, what the hell? What an odd number. I mean, if you're going to go 72, why not 75? You're going to go 75, why not just go the full 100? Why not get 100 virgins? I mean, coming from? I mean, I guess Allah has an unlimited supply of virgins? I mean... I just don't get that. It just.
I just want one.
But yeah, well, 72. I mean, I mean, I love women.
I'll take 12.
And I'm sure women, you know, women do love men, and I'm sure that having 72 husbands would probably drive them crazy. If you had 72 wives, that would drive you absolutely insane too after a while. But
hey,
I just
listen,
don't get
what
that.
You said, what you said is correct, the entire thing. Nothing wrong with that. I get it. It's beautiful. I feel the same way. But you didn't apparently understand what I said, that tests proven that in the Islamic community, they are inbred, and that could be part of the problem. tests. I expect you would check that out, please.
Well, I think I don't know what story it is, but I would imagine probably years ago there was a lot of inbred. Well, there was a lot of inbred in Europe. There was a lot of inbred in Europe, and we could be all human beings probably have a little bit of
look at the Irish.
There was a lot of cultures in human cultures.
Of course there was. There's no question. Because, listen, we started with two people. So, yeah, there's some inbreeding. But regardless, take a look at that test, and it shows facts.
Well, send it to me. I don't know.
That's why I asked you to look at it.
Well, I don't know. How the hell am I going to look at it? I don't even know where it is.
Well, it's on the stupid Internet.
Ugh, Internet. There's a million websites on the Internet. Where did you see it?
I was shown it by somebody that found it.
You got to be careful about the Internet.
And I'll send it to you.
I know, but you got to be very careful about that stupid Internet. Even some of these sites that are, that are pretty good, they still screw up a story. And, you know, there's a lot of
that. But listen, I read the story, and it sounds fairly accurate with common sense.
Well,
I've got common sense.
I don't care if they're inbred or not. They're going to be killed. You cannot have a civil conversation with these people. Okay, we need you to, put your knife down and stop cutting people's heads off, and let's all be friends. Oh, look, a unicorn. You think they're just going to say, okay, we're all just going to be friends? No. There's a way to end them, and you got to end them, and that is to kill them. And I hate talking about killing people. I just hate going down that road, but there is no other alternative. There is no alternative. The only way to end Islamic terrorism is you have to wipe them out. You have to kill them. If they're alive and they have
correct.
That in their head, they're not going to get rid of it. They're not. There is no therapy. You can't go to Terrorist Anonymous and change your ways. It's not going to happen.
At this point, I agree. But
once a terrorist, always a terrorist.
That wasn't my point. I just wanted you to read it, maybe put it out there. That's what they state, that the inbreeding in the community of whatever they are, possibly has something to do with it.
Well, I'm Ahmed, and I'm a terrorist. And I've been clean for 2 weeks. I've just made, Terrorist Anonymous, Just making fun.
Oh.
Just making a joke. I'm a joke. I'm a funny guy. So.
All right.
Well,
my name's Ken. I'm a terrorist. I haven't killed in 3.5 weeks. What do they say?
I don't know. But we've got Egypt now and the UAE. Thank God for Egypt. Egypt right now... the reason why Egypt and Saudi Arabia and UAE and you've got these countries like that, the reason why they're fighting ISIS and these terrorists, not because they really so much believe that they're really bad people. They're fighting them so they can keep their own control. They don't want ISIS to come over.
Well, they
and
don't
ISIS
want them in their area.
They don't want them taken over, and Saudi Arabia is starting to get a little concerned because if ISIS takes the total country of Iraq over and takes a majority of Syria, it won't take very long where they're just going to slip right in there to Saudi Arabia. And don't think for one second that they don't have their eyes on conquering Saudi Arabia, because they do. They want to be the total. They want to have one Islamic state, Sharia law, and they want to be in charge of it. And they don't care. And Muslims kill more Muslims than anybody else. But, you know, it's in there. It's in the, you know, the Quran. You're not supposed to kill a Muslim. It's against, you know, Allah and Muhammad.
You can marry your sister.
You can marry your goat. You can do whatever the hell you want to. That's fine. They do. They out there. I'm telling you. I've seen video of. I don't know if you've seen it. It could be fake or not, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit that it would be true. But yeah, they are some goat and sheep humpers, man. I just don't. Why? I mean, why would you want to do that to another animal? It doesn't even make any sense. I mean, how do you get aroused by an animal? How does that turn you on?
Well, the sheep family supposedly, and believe me, I don't know specifically, but supposedly, this is where the whole joke comes from, is the closest to a human.
I've heard that too.
Well, now listen to this.
But I'm not going to find out. I'm just not going to find out.
No, I'm not going to find out. A llama. Now, they're in the sheep family, I assume.
A llama? I doubt it.
I think a llama is. If you look at a llama, though, and the height of yourself, a llama is right about there.
No, they're pretty big. They're more like a camel.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
So you remember that llama farm that we had in Vancouver there on, it 78?
Battleground, right by the fair.
No, I'm talking, like you're going to go to the mall. They had that llama farm on 78th all the way down there past that church.
No.
Yeah, they had a big llama.
You checked them out more than I did.
No, I just drove by time. So,
well,
I worked
in a llama. Is right about that high.
I don't care. It's a sick conversation. I'm not talking. We can get off this. I can't
but
be talking
funny.
About that crap. But
I know it was just funny.
These people, their minds are gone and they're lost. They cannot be rehabilitated. You cannot rehabilitate a terrorist. They have to be killed. And our president, for what reason, seems to be very sympathetic with their ways. I think he's a Muslim. I'm going to go ahead.
I believe he is.
He may not be a Muslim on a piece of paper that says he's a Muslim, but he's a Muslim in his heart, and that's where the Muslim is.
I'm putting my money on, yeah, he is.
He's got a Muslim heart and a Muslim mind. And that's why he's so sympathetic with these people. That's why he doesn't. Okay, fine. He's got these drones that are, you know, supposedly he's killed more of these people. But that's, you know, maybe just to keep up appearances. But when he's buddy buddies there with Al Qaeda, he's buddy buddies there with Turkey. He's releasing the Taliban. I mean, these are the fibers. Man on planet Earth, hey, and he releases them for a deserter.
Let's just say, where's the proof that he did kill any of them?
Well, exactly. Well, supposedly, I mean, the SEAL Team 6 that killed Bin Laden. Well, that's that helicopter crash a couple of years ago, crashed about a year ago. The whole team was wiped out. Now, here they're in a helicopter that was built in the Vietnam era, 40 years old, and they're flying with no other helicopters, no backup, and they get attacked. Now, that just seems a little – and these SEAL team families, they want information, but are they going to get any information? Not from this president. I mean – our general, our two-star general, the highest-ranking general to be killed since Vietnam, our president doesn't even show up. Doesn't show up, but he's going to be sending all these people down for some thug who was trying to attack a cop. Supposedly, we don't know the full story of what happened in Ferguson, but what we do know is he strong-armed this guy and stole a box of cigars. But now there's another thing coming out saying that there's another tape said that he actually paid for them. Well, the tape that I seen, it didn't look like he paid for them. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. But I didn't see that. And so he's going to send people down there to support these rioters and looters, and they're burning buildings down and stealing TVs and sneakers and all kinds of stuff. And then we have a two-star general, and he won't even show up to the field as a two-star general. I mean, that's a two-star, that's a general. I mean, the president has to appoint you to be a general. You can't just, you know, take a test and become a general. You got to be appointed. You go through Congress and everything. It's not easy to become a general. And he, to the funeral? I mean, it's pathetic. But he's going to go, everybody's going to go down to this young kid who was killed. You know, he was a thug. I'm sorry, he was not a nice kid. You know, I hate to be urinating all over this kid's grave, but he was not a sweetheart. I mean, his mama thought he was an angel, but, you know, all mamas think their kids are angels. But this kid was not. I mean, this man has, his priorities are, his mindset. Is anything American, this president is going to go ahead and try to destroy it. Anything he can do to destroy this country, he said he's going to fundamentally transform. That's exactly what he did. Me personally, I didn't see what needed to be fundamentally transformed. What was, I mean, yeah, America does a lot of stupid stuff, a country that doesn't. But why did we need to be so fundamentally transformed? Why did we have to be transformed? Did you feel you needed to be changed? Are you there?
You're asking me?
Yeah. Did you feel that we needed to have our entire country turned upside down and fundamentally transformed? I didn't feel that. What? I mean, why did we have to go down this road? I don't know. And look what we got. We've got 100 million people out of work. That's over 30% unemployment rate. That's like 35, 40%. Those are depressionary numbers. We've got nobody who's got a doctor anymore. Veterans don't have a doctor. They still don't have a doctor. They still don't have a doctor. And now the administration is trying to come out and say that, nobody really died in that VA in Arizona. That was a hoax. Really? Well, the woman who was the whistleblower, who was the woman who actually put these men's names on in her drawer, she came to people and said, well, and I'm sorry, but my husband is now dead because he couldn't get an appointment. And she said, that's what caused her to, finally spill the beans. So, yeah, this story that no veterans died from this administration, they're just trying to make it look like, oh, that's a hoax and that's this. And it's bogus. And I don't care if they did die or not. The fact is they didn't have it. But that's what matters. That's the point. Whether they died or not, at this point, to me, is irrelevant. The fact is they're not in front of a doctor, and that's what needs to be fixed. That's what needs to be changed. So, and it's a bitch trying to get to my – I don't drive, so it takes me – I got to schedule an appointment. It takes me over – it takes me 2 weeks to get a van to come pick me up. So I had pneumonia. I had to go to another hospital because my landlady, she couldn't take me down there. And I was, you know, when you got pneumonia, you're sick. I mean, you are sick, sick, sick. You can't move. You can't do nothing. And I've had it 3 times. Actually, 4. So I can't wait 2 weeks to go see a doctor. A pneumonia will kill you. You die from that stuff. You don't get it treated. 2 weeks, you don't get pneumonia treated, within 2 weeks, you're dead. Trust me. Trust me on that one. Well, a couple of minutes before I just realized, I looked up at the clock here. We've only got a couple of minutes before they're going to cut me off, so. Anything else? Any parting wisdom you'd like to give the audience?
Buy low and sell high.
All right, let me get going here. I got to wrap this show up. We got a lot of stuff to do in a matter of 1 minute before they cut me off. So,
all right, Dave. Good talking to you.
See me.
All right. See me later. Okay, guys, that's it for tonight. We got nothing more to talk about, nothing else to do. We got a lot to talk about, actually, but we just don't have any more time to do it in. So what we're going to do is we're going to restart this program tomorrow night at 8 p.m., and I want each and everybody, if you like the show, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, tell everybody. Join the fun. Stand fight. Stop being patient. Stop being tolerant for this crap. Country is failing. We're taking on water. The ship is sinking. We've got to repair the hull. We've got to repair our ship. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night at 8. Goodbye, everybody.